Your country has been invaded. There is no longer people there that represent interests of Europeans. People of Europe, wake up!
Who has brought us into this terrible situation? Russian President Putin decided to escalate. You are crying. You are crying.
Exactly.
The West is escalating. What did you expect?
Exactly. You expected you to die.
Guten Morgen. Hello, Vladimir. I was wondering what you just were saying. It sounded interesting, but unfortunately, I didn't understand a word.
Oh, I was saying that it's too bad. I told that interpreters are also working on both sides. I was saying that you spent quite some time in Russian, that you made a couple of very important interviews that appeared on your site, interview with Margarita Simonyan, interview with Dmitry Peskov, and that you're one of the rare journalists that are trying to let the voice of Russian leaders being heard in German-speaking and English-speaking parts of Europe and the world.
Yeah, interesting. It was very enlightening for me, and I just saw the new cover story of The Economist is an interview or an essay by Andrei Melnichenko, the famous Russian entrepreneur, and he speaks about the whole strategic situation, and he says that a weakened Russia is not in the interest of world stability, and he brings up, you could say, the grand perspective. And this, I think, is interesting, that The Economist, which is not really, you know, guilty of too much sympathy for Russia, they are reflecting more the English, the Great Britain position, but they are coming up with such an interview, which can be an indicator that this need for understanding and for mutual discussion is growing. Let's hope.
Roger, come on. Come on, don't give me this crap. Roger, we just witnessed one of the most strategic step on the scale of escalation that just happened in Ankara. The NATO meeting that basically declared war. Nowadays, Europe is working as the rear of Ukrainian army that is sponsored, armed by European countries. We just saw that European leaders, after ass-licking ceremony, they signed all possible deals on escalation, stating that, yes, they are behind and they are part of the deep strikes on Russian oil refinery and creating tension inside Russia for the purpose of enforcement Russia into peace. And that it's okay to kill Russians, it's okay to deep strike, that it's okay. That's escalation that can lead to peace. Okay, guys, wake up and smell the coffee. You want escalation, you'll get escalation. I'm not Dmitry Peskov, and by the way, it's not his responsibility to declare war or to decide what and how will be done by our military. Yes, we're extremely responsible state. So, for the sake of surviving in this world, you think that deep strikes for our refineries create tension that can lead to enforcement as to peace? We'll destroy every fucking single refinery that you have in Europe, because they're working for the benefit of Ukrainian Nazis. And if you want to argue one more time that we cannot call them Nazis, go to Polish guys. They call them Nazis. Even the European Parliament admitted that it's Nazis. You want suffering of Russian people, you'll get suffering of Europeans. All this blah, blah, blah shit that, well, there are certain forces in Europe that they want peace. It's only one purpose. One purpose. Get the temperature of the water in which you boil us up to the level without us saying that. And you, unfortunately, dear Roger, you have those beautiful wishful thinking. You are still trying to be good, and you are good as a person. But you don't see that your country has been invaded. and that there is no longer people there that represent interests of Europeans. They have stolen. They've stolen what you thought is yours. Nowadays, they have zero influence on European politics. People of Europe, wake up! When finally you'll see Russian rockets hitting most important refineries in Europe, when we'll hit, and we have to hit, all those factories that are working for the interest of Ukrainian Nazis, and they are on Europe, who's going to suffer? And of course, please do not buy houses, and please do leave houses near those locations. Please do. Wake up, guys. They've stolen everything from you. You do not control your own governments. It's controlled by homosexual lobby. It's controlled by Alex Karp, whomever. He has stolen the most important part of every single government, the monopoly on violence. Now, the excessive use of force that has been always done only by the government has been delegated to Palantir. Now Palantir is deciding who's going to live or who's going to die. Now Palantir is deciding whether Russian girls in Starobelsk are going to be killed or not, or Iranian girls in the school. He is making decision with his protocol and his program, not the officials that have been elected. Governments are losing the most important monopoly that they always had, monopoly on violence. You don't see it. You still believe in good old Europe.
I see it crystal clear, dear Vladimir. I see it crystal clear. And now I'm going to tell you what you are not seeing at all.
Please do.
I mean, there is one big snorting elephant in the middle of the room you never talk about. And now, okay, you're raising your voice. I can raise my voice
sure.
too, but I won't raise,
always do.
I won't
please
raise
go ahead.
It. But I will. I mean, who at the end of the day has brought us into this terrible situation? Who was the man who decided in February 22 in starting a special military operation, which is now lasting longer than the Great Patriotic War, which even Dmitry Peskov, the eloquent and well-reflected spokesman of the Kremlin, starts to call a full-scale war? I mean, Russian President Putin decided to escalate a situation in Ukraine where I agree with you, a situation, a crisis, a problem which has been created by the West. I agree.
Look who's talking, my man.
No. Let me speak now.
Putin.
I was listening
yes,
to you.
Yes, that's his fault. Yes, it's Putin's fault. That he,
yes,
and he admitted
I was listening.
It.
Let me make
sure,
my point.
Sure, go ahead.
He decided to escalate in that sense. If you do that, you have to win. You have to have an impression.
Now
and
you're
you have
talking.
You have to know the forces you're up against. Russia, with this decision, your president, he underestimated Ukraine. He underestimated the West. And now
exactly.
You are crying.
Exactly.
The West is escalating. What did you expect?
Exactly.
You
expected
we
expected you to die.
To Russia, that
we
saying,
expect
thank you very
you
much, President Putin,
to die.
For this war.
Sure.
Come
that's
on,
what I'm telling
on.
You.
Who
we
is living?
Expect
who is
you
living in the
to
world
die.
Of illusion here?
You don't hear me. Yes, we were forced to do that. And you are right. And that's what I was telling my president. That we had to escalate up to the level that no one ever will be able to fight Mother Russia. We were trying to conduct the police operation. We haven't destroyed Kyiv as you motherfuckers destroyed Belgrade. We haven't destroyed Kyiv, Ivano-Frankivsk and Lviv as your, not you personally, as your NATO forces destroyed and tried to destroy Baghdad, Mosul and all the cities there. We were trying to be nice. Amount of casualties that happened during this special operation is less than amount of people in Gaza being killed by Israelis. Yes, we were unfortunately too much humanitarians. We underestimated your stupidity. We were trying to protect and save people of Donbass. They've been killed in numbers. with the help of your motherfucking governments that betrayed Yanukovych, that in 2014 gave all necessary means to motherfucking Nazis in Ukraine that committed the military coup, and you've been supporting them for 8 years, lying to Russia. During this time, you supported Ukrainian Nazis to start massacres in Donbas, when more than 10,000 Donbas people were killed. On February, yes, that's true, on February 15th, you started heavy shelling and bombarding Donetsk, Lugansk. That's led to that people fled from those places, sending their kids and the elderly and the women out of Donbas. You are preparing the same operation that you've done in Yugoslavia. You are preparing to kill Donbas. And because the front line went through Donetsk, it will take hours to destroy thousands of people there, Russian people that you don't give a fuck about. Again, not you personally, the Western culture. And that's the important thing. So we had to start it because in our national memory, it's 22nd of June, 1941. And we saw it's coming. And we said, never fucking again, we'll be not prepared. And we had to start it. But because we are fighting our brothers, almost our mirror, we wanted to be not cruel like you. We wanted to make it like special operation. And that's why Putin addressed Ukrainian army saying, we're not willing to fight you, we're fighting only Nazis. And that's why we went there without killing civilians. We went to Kyiv and we were expecting them to do easy steps to de-escalate, to let people of Donbas live the way they wanted to. We were never talking about Zaporozhye, Kherson. Never. Istanbul, they were ready to sign. Yeah. And that's where we underestimated you. Your fucking Macron and your damn liar and absolutely corrupted guy, Boris Johnson. They told Zelensky, who give a fuck about Ukrainians? Kill them all. Yeah, you're gonna fight. And that's when it's, and yes, you're right. So now if you want us to fight, we'll fight. You no, want to see what Russian soldier is? Okay. You Europeans will have to take this. You have wanted us to have the real fight, you'll have the real fight.
Yeah, but you know,
you want us to see Berlin once again been, how many times Russian army conquered Berlin? How many times every single century we're marching in Berlin? It takes, I heard that German culture is not exactly that stupid. But no, once again you want to see us. Yes, it's longer than Great Patriotic War, but it's still not as long as the war we had back in Peter's time.
Come on, Vladimir. I mean, it's utter craziness to talk about Berlin if your army is still in a very
because
heavy
we're
fighting,
fighting
in Donbass.
It's different war,
and
man.
Again.
It is, I mean, different war.
Sorry,
but we don't have to march there. We can destroy it, not without crossing borders, yeah, man. Nowadays, but we can fucking destroy Berlin without crossing borders, as you understand.
Why I'm invited when I cannot speak? It's impossible,
yes, you can
for
speak.
Me to utter a point.
Why do you care about Berlin, man?
I care about world peace, and I tell you, I care
world
about
peace.
Russia. I
yeah,
care about Russia, and I share Andrei Melnichenko's vision that I say it's utter stupidity. I agree with you. It's utter stupidity by the West of trying to push down Russia to make a strategic weakening of Russia.
Why Trump is destroying
Iran? I see the rhetoric, but Vladimir, what is the sense of now accusing the West? You have
no
the
sense.
President.
You agree. There's no sense. There's only one sense. Destroy
the
West. You're
sorry.
Right.
You have
the only thing that we can do is enforce peace by destroying you.
Okay, let me put it that way. My question is to you, Vladimir. Now we are in a situation which is historically rather unprecedented. We have Moscow directly under fire. We have Moscow under attack. This causes huge problem for any government because the prime responsibility of a government is to protect its citizen. And if you escalate the war and Russia has participated in the escalation, Russia has not created the situation, I agree, but they have participated in the escalation. And if you're starting to talk about Rutte, about Trump, about Boris Johnson, okay, that's an easy shot, but the responsibility also lies with Russia. And if you are arguing, okay, now we're striking Berlin, now we're striking Poland, we're striking all these guys, this is just pure desperation. This is crap.
It is not desperation. It's war.
World war.
It's not desperation. The world war is there already. Can't you see it? The world war is on.
Yeah,
you are bombarding.
No, it's not.
You destroyed Libya. You destroyed Syria. You destroyed Afghanistan. You destroyed Iraq. You destroyed Yugoslavia. You destroying right now Iran. And you destroyed Venezuela. You are making Cuba suffer. And you are telling me there is no world war? Are you blind?
No, the world war is when Russia, the United States, and China directly go against each other after their throats.
When Palantir is fighting directly against Russia, is it world war or not?
But I mean, what's your goal?
When American Palantir,
what's the ultimate objective? You want world war or you want still a peaceful settlement?
There's
no peaceful
settlement.
Yeah, read. I have wishful thinking.
Roger,
I wish for peace,
Roger,
and not this madness.
Read what has been told in Ankara. There is no world peace. In Ankara, they signed an agreement on the war on Russia. Read
the
document. Roger, read
the
document.
It's,
Roger, it doesn't mean shit. The important thing is that you are going full-scale war against Russia. So we have only one choice. Either prevent it by escalation, by bringing war on the territory of Europe, or let you kill us. You'll respond immediately after the commercial break, as they say in Switzerland, or
I
after
only
news.
See breaks
as well.
And I only hear you talking. Now it's my turn.
Sure, man. Probably.
Meine Damen und Herren, bitte verzeihen Sie diesen überfallartigen Unterbruch. Ich werde das Mikrofon selbstverständlich dem Moderator gleich wieder zurückgeben. Doch vorher habe ich noch eine ganz wichtige Durchsage. Abonnieren Sie die Weltwoche. Gegensteuer, die andere Sicht, unabhängig, kritisch, gut gelaunt, seit über 90 Jahren. Jedes Abo eine Liebeserklärung an die Meinungsvielfalt. Alle Angaben und Informationen finden Sie unter diesem Video. Vielen herzlichen Dank.
To fight back, I think that there are a couple of important numbers that you have to that you have to let Western audience know. First of all, we were speaking about February of the 22. Amount of Ukrainian troops that were concentrated on the front line with Donetsk and Lugansk were about 10 times more than amount of soldiers on Donetsk and Lugansk side. So at this moment of time, Ukrainian forces concentrated 10 times more soldiers. Amount of shelling for this week before we had to start special military operation was greater than ever during the war. They were bombarding Donetsk in a scale that they never achieved during coming 4.5 years. So we were 100% sure that they are planning to start military operation on destroying Donbas. So basically, we had no choices. Those numbers are not known in the West. They never consider that on the West. That's why all the estimates and the evaluation is completely bullshit. For example, you know that Konstantinovka is the fortress, very important fortress, that is seventh largest city in Donbass has been liberated. And President Putin came with initiative to start local ceasefire to let Ukrainians to collect their dead. And he refused. That's why I came up with very, very scary idea. If they did not want to take the missed inactions and killed soldiers, maybe we should, in coffins, put them in front of the European embassy in Moscow to let Europeans collect those corpses and bury them. Because they are behind the war. Because missiles that are striking Russia are using French components, Palantir as a targeting meaning, American-made drones. They're just called Ukrainians, but they're not. That's why our hatred to the West is growing up. And that's why we already see that you are fighting the war against us. As Margarita Simonyan told you, how many Russian tanks, how many Russian missiles, how many Russian planes? None. How many Germans, French, American? A lot fighting against us. Please go ahead.
First, I have to correct you. There was one newspaper who wrote exactly what you just explained, the shelling, the build-up of the Ukrainian forces, and it happens to be my newspaper, Die Weltwoche, which addressed these issues. But of course, you are right, in the public consciousness, it's not there. Second, I share your concern. I think that escalation destroys reason. And this is why I'm not participating in this escalation of words, because as you well know, words can become weapons. Now, the third point, I get attacked a lot in the West because I have the positions I have, because I don't share into this mindless demonization of Russia in this totally absurd vilification, which has lost all proportion. But still, we have to address one thing. This is a question I ask myself. I think, but you can correct me, I think that President Putin made a mistake. He made several mistakes. We talked about the first one. I mean, if you are escalating yourself, even though you are in a situation of necessity, you have to know what you are up to. And Putin underestimated the enemies. You can read all his speeches, how he was making fun of the West. Ukraine is a dysfunctional state, etc. He underestimated his enemies. And now we cannot go into whining melancholy of how bad and how evil the Westerners are. If you go into a fight full scale, okay, you have to be ready for that fight. And the second mistake, but please correct me if I'm wrong, the second mistake was last year. I mean, President Trump, he is NATO. The United States is NATO. Forget Germany, forget France, forget Great Britain. These are, at the moment, dysfunctional states. NATO is the United States of America. And the American president, Trump, is the American president who is like, unlike any other Republican president, he's on the side of Russia. I mean, you remember back in 2017 when Donald Trump was asked by the Fox TV guy, Bill O'Reilly, what do you think about Putin? And he said, I respect him. And then the Fox moderator was totally astonished and said, what? You're respecting Putin, but he's a killer. And Trump said, well, he might be a killer, but you know, there are many killers out there. And don't you think we Americans are so innocent? So you have an American president who is not metaphysically against Russia. And he was eager on ending this war. And that is still his agenda. At the moment, he thinks by escalating it, he can bring peace closer. He might make a mistake. So you have to convince him that this is a mistake. But somehow along the way, Putin was too stubborn. I mean, come on, for 10% of Donbass territory, you want to blow up the world? Are you crazy? Are you totally out of your mind? This is irresponsible talk, and one should never go into this kind of chamber of hell, even rhetorically. So why didn't Putin just make a compromise? Why didn't he find an agreement with the Americans? Now Trump is also pissed off. Now he's helping a bit more the Ukrainian side. He said, well, they can have the Patriots. They can license them in 2 years. Probably they can build them themselves. But he's not as directly involved probably as some European countries. So you can lament on the Europeans. I share a lot of your opinions myself. But here in your program, it is my duty to address some of the errors I see or we see on the side of your president. And I have a respect for your president as well. I see his great achievements. I see what he saved Russia from the 90s. He was the great stabilocrat, or how you want to call him. He brought stability. He brought pride. He brought also stability on the world stage. He doesn't get acknowledged for that. He doesn't get the proper credit he deserves. But now he made some serious mistakes, I think. And why is Putin so stubborn that he couldn't make a compromise to end this war, which is now causing problems for Russia? And if Russia gets into trouble, if you are not able to protect your own people in Moscow, in this window of Russian greatness, if the cars have to line up in front of the gas stations, I don't know Russia so well as you, but I can imagine the people are not amused, and they don't think that their government is doing at the moment an extremely good job in protecting them. And the question is, why is the Russian president so intransigent? Why didn't he take the chance with Trump? Why didn't he take the chance?
Quite easily. First of all, sometimes when you run the country, you have to make decisions that you cannot not to make, that you are forced to make. Sometimes you have to make decisions when you're not completely ready. But if you don't make this decision, the outcome will be much worse. It was not our desire. We were forced to do it. And if we didn't start it at this moment of time, can you imagine in what position we'll be in a week or in 2 weeks when Donbas will be already destroyed? And what will happen inside Russia when Russian people will ask Putin why we didn't do whatever we could to stop the massacre of Russians in Donbas? That will lead to unrest in Russia. And that was one of the major ideas of Western political leaders that were telling at first Poroshenko and then Zelensky to escalate. So we had to start it, although, of course, we were not planning any form of big war for the last 30 years. It was not in plans of any military. At the same time, you can ask the same question to Trump. Why have you started war in Iran and you thought it's going to be over in 2 weeks, in 4 weeks, 6 months later, it's still on. And you're suffering, and you cannot win. Mm-hmm. And you can ask the same question to Europeans. How come that they started every single war and they cannot end them? They're stuck in Afghanistan for 2 decades. They've started in Iraq for decades, and they've lost them all. So how come that they've started military campaign and they've lost them completely? And they got terror in their countries, and they could not protect their own capitals from the terrorist attacks, neither in Spain, nor in Paris, nor in Germany. So how come? How could you? What happened with all your leaders? They underestimated, they made all the mistakes. That's called real life and real politics.
That's
when
true.
You're talking about Trump and Putin, I was not there in Anchorage. I don't know what they discussed, but what, as far as I'm concerned, we've done all necessary steps and we came to certain agreement, as was told by Mr. Ushakov and as was mentioned by people from Kremlin, Americans came to us with proposal. And we accepted this proposal. Mm-hmm. And then they went to Zelensky. And they could not force him to accept proposal. So it's not a question of a relationship with Russia and America. It's the question of relationship of Trump with Zelensky and with Europe. And if you remember after Anchorage, there was, especially after meeting in White House when Zelensky was completely destroyed, Europeans went to Trump to change his point of view. So they are fighting for Zelensky. They're fighting against Russia. When you're saying, why don't you sacrifice 10% of your territory and you're willing to destroy the whole world? Have you ever read the agreement of NATO, the document itself? You are stating that every inch, square inch of NATO territory is sacred and you'll fight for it. And now you're telling us to give away 10% of the territory. It's never been a question of territory. It's the question of people living on this territory. That's why we never actually wanted to conquer Ukraine. Because it's not that we need territory. We're the largest country in the world. It's the question of people living on those territories and their will. And that's what democracy is about, the word that unfortunately is completely forgotten in the West. You don't, once again, not you personally, European political leaders don't even think about people living on the territories of those republics. They couldn't care less about people in Crimea, Zaporozhye, Kherson, Donbass. They made their choice. They don't want to be with Ukraine. They don't want to be under Nazi ideology. We are listening to these people. And that's what Putin is saying all the time. So that's why it's not a question of just territory. It's much more important. Plus, immediately, if any political leader will say, oh, okay, I can sacrifice my territory, can you imagine what's going to happen inside this state? For example, Denmark. What do they have to do with Greenland? They have zero, basically, interest there, according to Donald Trump. But according to the political forces of Denmark, we can never do that. It's sacred. And they are willing to fight for the land against United States. I'd love to see this picture. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
It will be an incredible fight. Probably about 10 minutes or 7 minutes. But get back to reality. When we're getting back to reality, you do know history of Russia quite well. Do you actually believe that by creating tension in Russia, creating all the problems for Russian people, you will force Russian people to say, okay, let's stop the war? Or you will force Russian people to say, okay, let's fight Europeans, let's destroy them? You know Russian character. We're Russians, we love to suffer. We love to suffer and we will overcome. We'll overcome all the hardships and all the misfortunes. Well, it sounds like Shakespeare, Hamlet, but it's okay.
But they... Let me
to
say
be or not to
here.
Be, that will be the question for Europeans. The answer for Russians is quite easy. Once again, West is willing to destroy our state. Mm-hmm. As it happened in 1916, 1917, when Russian political so-called leaders betrayed its country. It's happened in 1991, when Soviet leaders betrayed its people. It won't happen again. It's patriotic war as far as we're concerned. We're fighting against Nazis. And of course, Nazis are trying to create hardship for our people. Okay, so we'll have to fight back.
But there
are
is,
you ready?
But there is one essential difference. And this is why I'm totally against using this Nazi language crap. Of course,
crap.
These guys, we don't
Tell
have
it to
to
Polish
discuss
guys.
it. We don't
Tell
have
it
to
to
go into
Polish
that.
guys that it's crap.
No, come on, come on, come on. Let me, no, no. Because, you know, I know all this stuff. I know these are terrible guys. I know they have Nazi symbols. They have swastikas. These are terrible guys. It's a shame. It's a shame for Europe that we are supporting these people, that our taxpayers pay for these kind of ultra-nationalist lunatics. Absolutely agreed. But if we start to talk, if we start to shape this conflict in terms of 41 to 45, the Great Patriotic War, there is a huge flaw in your argument. And the flaw is the following. Ukraine was a sovereign, independent state. They had an interior conflict with the eastern provinces, with the Donbass. And of course, there was also Russian influence. It got out of hand. You had the so-called some kind of civil war. You have the situation in Crimea. But it's not the case that there was like some lunatic dictator in Europe sending 3 or 4 million troops through Ukraine and to Russia in order to destroy and enslave your people. I mean, this is also a war of
What's
your
different?
choosing. It's not just the fate. You know, we had to, a
we
wise
have,
politician
it's the fate.
Always have an alternative. And I think, and this
you,
is my point.
You,
let
you
me
really
put
don't
that.
Get it.
I had a conflict
Roger,
with...
you really don't get it. We are not coming from Calvinist ideology. We completely from different set of mentality. And that's what I told you when we just started our discussions. That's the big problem. You look at us and you think that we basically mentally very close to you, but we're not. And that's the big problem. As far as we're concerned, there's no difference, man. There's no difference. Nazis are killing our people. That's it. And we don't care whether it's 3 or 4 million people from Germany, or whether it's 400,000 people from Ukraine, we don't care.
But you
we
know
care
what
about
is the
saving Russians.
But they have a very important point here. You said this is also for the Russian audience important. I deeply regret that in the West we are hypnotized, self-hypnotized by our own propaganda, by this image of President Putin being the ultimate evil. But I see in your program, and you are the Darth Vader of Russian television, I'm here the Obi-Wan Kenobi with my laser sword fighting your arguments. I see the same mechanism on your side.
I'm not your father.
To talk to hypnotize
Get into
yourself.
This. I'm not your father.
No, but now I'm not Luke Skywalker. I'm Obi-Wan Kenobi. He was the former partner. They were partners in arms.
You don't know that they're all relatives.
You have to watch Star Wars again. You're not. You have to watch Star Wars again. No, my thing is, world history is a series of misunderstandings, and don't dig yourself into a hole. Telling to yourself that we are in the situation like 1941, we are not.
We are.
And the Russian people,
we are.
You know much better the Russian people. But if they have the impression that the Russian president has miscalculated, then their willingness to follow him is probably not there. And the second
You're wrong.
Is,
the same mistake that Hitler made with Stalin.
Yeah,
he
might
thought
be,
that after
might
six.
Be.
He thought that after 6 months, when Russia lost a lot of territory and a lot of people were captured, that Russian people will fight against Stalin. That's what I'm saying. You do not understand Russians.
No.
We see where the problem is. Putin is our president. We elected him.
We
never elected neither motherfucker Macron, who's been beaten by his wife, no Scholz, no Merz. We didn't give them a chance to decide our destiny.
Yeah.
We are fighting for Russian people.
But
we
you
were
know
not
what is...
planning to fight. You decided to participate in this fight.
Okay.
It was your choice at first to support military coup, to betray Yanukovych.
Yeah.
It was your choice. That's what Angela told to Russian prankers when she explained that was her idea, to do whatever she could to support Ukrainians. They were doing this. They were interfering with this. They were planning this. And plus, we have almost 1,000 years history of non-stop war against West. So, man, we are people with memory. And we do believe that, unfortunately, you're not learning any lessons. I'm not talking about Swiss guys. No. I'm talking mainly about, look at what Pistorius has to say. Look at what they signed in Ankara. Look at all those people are saying. But once again, you are pragmatic. You should be as a Calvinist. Well, you have to be pragmatic. If you put on your territory Europeans, Ukrainian manufacturing of military weapon that is targeting Russia, why it shouldn't be destroyed? If you guide and give whatever is necessary to destroy Russian oil refineries, what makes you think that your own oil refineries are safe and secure?
I share these concerns. I address them. I voice them, even on an international level. But on the other hand, you cannot, as Russians, and this is now a crucial point, you cannot unleash hell from your side. I mean, what there is one
you
concern
can,
I have. Let me say that. No, let me say this. There's one thing. Please, let me say. There is one thing that concerns me.
I'm on the other side. I'm on the other side. You cannot understand.
Sure, I know. But
we are good. We will go. You don't understand this. We'll go to heaven and you go to hell. You have no church, not Switzerland, but Germany. You have no Christianity. You have homosexuals running your countries. You forgot all the Christian values. Man, we discussed it to start with. Why do you think that you're on the side of good when you're the purest form of evil? You are the purest form of evil, man. Look at Macron. Isn't he evil? Look at Merz. Isn't he evil?
Look at the end. Macron is a living dead politician. Come on. He will be kicked out of his office. Don't fight against
these
bogeyman people. No, you know what the point is? The problem is, and this is my concern.
Sure.
In the Russian government, with your president, and this is the difference to Donald Trump, you're totally right. Trump starts a war. He says, I'm a peace bringer. Then he starts war in Venezuela. He starts war in Iran. But you know what is the difference between Trump and Putin? Trump, he brings up so many war objectives that he can walk out any minute and declare victory. And this is my concern, that your president, he can never say, oh, sorry, I made a mistake. Or he can never say, okay, let's stop it. It's not worth fighting for 10% of Donbass territory, Ukrainian territory, for 10% to risk a world war.
No, 10%. It's our territory.
Putin can never do that.
Constitutionally, it's our territory.
He can never say, I made a mistake, because then he's dead.
He did.
He did?
Of course. He stated.
Why?
Putin said he made a mistake.
Why doesn't he just stop now?
I mean,
you have almost conquered
whole Donbass. I can explain why. I can explain why.
He should stop now.
You don't understand the mistake that he did. You never followed him. He said, I made a mistake. I should start it earlier. We will finish what we started. We are Russians. We'll always go to the very end. We will not stop until our goals, if we have to destroy you all, we'll destroy you all. We have our goals. Come on, man. It's in Bible. When the God told you, you go and kill them all. Isn't it? It's in the Bible, man.
Now you have spent
now
too
we're
many
talking.
Years in the United
now
States.
Now we're talking, but we'll have to continue next week. And
in
every
the United
time.
States, in the United States, if someone is totally desperate, he comes up with the Bible. You have spent too much time.
No. That's
States.
Important. If you come to the Bible, that means that you're religious and you believe in God. And that's not a desperation, because hope is in God. And in Bible.
I believe in God.
But when you start talking
like,
oh, when you start talking about Bible, that means they're desperate. No, that means that you are on the wrong side. That means that you are on the wrong side. That you're on the side of homosexuality. That you're on the side of kids rapping. That you're on the side of Epstein Island. We're on the other side. And not personally you. But I'm talking about European politicians. Name me just one representative of political leaders that right now in power in the West that you can call real Christian. Just one in Europe.
Bundesrat Guy Parmelin, the president of Switzerland, Guy Parmelin, he's a true Christian.
Is he NATO?
He's a friend of peace.
Is he in
and
NATO?
He's a true believer in Swiss neutrality.
Right. Is he in NATO?
No. NATO?
Uh-huh.
Of course not.
Too bad. So yeah. In NATO, can you name me one?
Let
you
me
have
think
time
about
till next
it,
week. You have time till next week to remember.
One sentence
because...
from a Calvinist. We are all on the wrong side. This is
the
point of
that's
Calvinist theology.
Yeah, but that's your
human beings are always.
That's why you're a sect, not a real religion, as far as we're concerned. All those you don't even have sense of humor in Calvinism. It has been
absolutely
forbidden for many years.
These clichés.
You're not even allowed to
you're
smile.
You're falling under your
well, for,
level
for
of
centuries,
argument.
You are not even allowed to have any jokes. That's why I cannot name even one great comedian coming from Switzerland.
What? Of course, we have so many. Emil Steinberger,
like,
he's
like
the
when?
Best. You haven't even heard of him. You have no
exactly.
idea what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. They were so great that
no
one never heard
idea.
About them. That's already a joke. That's the best of his joke. We have great comedians, but no one never heard about them. Okay, we'll get back next week. Thank you, Roger.
Okay, see you next time, Theology.